Life means a steady carrying out of our purpose to live as a Christian. It's not going to happen in an instant. Are you discouraged about your spiritual progress? Don't be.
Philippians 2 says, "Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem others better than themselves." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, helping you lovingly put God's principles into action in your daily life. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot talking with you again today on the subject of suffering. My friend Terry Knott told me a wonderful story about when she became a Christian. She was a teenager, and she said that the change was not really a dramatic one to begin with, but she began studying the Bible and trying to live a life like a Christian. There had been certain tensions between her and her mother, so what else is new? She said they were just typical 16-year-old kinds of things, missing a curfew maybe here and there, or getting a speeding ticket a block from her house, or not calling home to tell her parents that she'd be late. But as she began to pray and seek God's will and read her Bible, she discovered that according to God's word, she was supposed to honor her parents, honor her father and her mother. What exactly did that mean? Terry thought about it. She prayed about it. She didn't really relish the kind of an answer she got because it meant a kind of death. She was going to have to submit to them. Are there any young people listening to me today that don't really want to submit to their fathers or their mothers? Some of you homeschoolers, you're listening, aren't you? And I just want to thank God for all the mothers and fathers who have the courage to homeschool, and for you children who I hope realize that you have a tremendous privilege. But submitting to your parents is not by any means always an easy thing to do, is it? Becoming a Christian means submission to God. And submission to God almost always, in one way or another, means submission to somebody that He has put over us. Alas, who of us really likes to submit? We don't want anybody telling us what to do, do we? Well, Terry wasn't eager to submit either, but she was eager to know God and to do what He said. And so because she loved Him, she accepted this very personal, very practical death to the old leaf. We've been talking about the illustrations in nature of this principle of dying, and if the old leaves didn't fall off the tree in the wintertime, then the new leaves would never be able to be produced in the following spring. So Terry asked the Lord to help her. The day came when she asked permission to go to a party given by somebody that her mother didn't know. The case was highly scrutinized, Terry said, and her mother's answer was no. Terry's response startled both her and her mother. Instead of the usual argument, she simply said, "Okay." A new leaf had actually begun to appear. Well, Terry went to her room, she sat down on a chair, and she said, "I can't believe what just happened. Mother said no, and I said, okay. I didn't even argue with her. I didn't even raise my voice. I guess that's honoring your mother, isn't it, Lord? Well, thank you, Lord. Thank you for helping me." She had not reversed her decision to do the will of God. Life means a steady carrying out of our purpose to live as a Christian. It's not going to happen in an instant. Are you discouraged about your spiritual progress? Don't be. There will be another crisis for you to face, another thing which you can seek God's help in. God had shown Terry one thing that she had to change, and with His help, she changed it. The self-life, doing her own thing, had to go. I want to read from George MacDonald, one of my favorite authors. "What God may hereafter require of you, you must not give yourself the least trouble about. Everything He gives you to do, You must do as well as ever you can. And that is the best possible preparation for what he may want you to do next. If people would but do what they have to do, they would always find themselves ready for what came next. Are you dreading something that you think is coming next? The way to prepare for that is simply to do what you have to do now. And from Frederick W. Faber, this quotation: "Nothing can excuse the neglect of the duties of the position of life which God has conferred upon us. All is delusive where these are not attended to and made much of." In other words, let's not make excuses for ourselves when we haven't been able to do, or we don't think we've been able to do, the duties that God has conferred upon us. It is always possible to do the will of God. So if you really think that something is the will of God, no excuses. If you would advance in true holiness, as someone else has said, you must aim steadily at perfection in little things. My talks are based on my newest book, A Path Through Suffering. And I realize that there are many listening to me now who probably are not really suffering any very big thing. Little troubles, yes, little disappointments, but nothing very big. But I'm always trying to emphasize the fact that this day's daily bread, whatever it is that God is handing to you on a platter, it's here that he wants you to learn obedience. Learn to accept that bread, that assignment, that job, that responsibility. And here's a girl that I've been telling you about, Terry, who in the quiet time that she spent with the Lord was reminded that she was not honoring her father and her mother. And if she really wanted to follow him, it was just this one little thing that God was asking her to do. Let's not forget either that we do make a good many of our own crosses. We make trouble for ourselves, don't we? If God's way points north and south, and my way points east and west, the consequence is a cross. A cross of our own making. It's not the cross that God is asking us to take up for his sake. Now, we've got to deal with the crosses that we make ourselves, don't we? But then there are also the crosses which we did not make for ourselves, for which we don't feel any responsibility as far as the cause goes. Yet it is here in this situation that cannot be changed, that God is asking us to be obedient. I want to remind you of the old gospel hymn that you know, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Psalm 119 is a wonderful psalm to study on the subject of prayer. And the psalmist says to the Lord in verse 23, "The powers that be sit scheming together against me, but I, thy servant, will study thy statutes. Thy instruction is my continual delight. I turn to it for counsel." The powers that be sit scheming together against me. Is there somebody that feels that the cards have always been stacked against him? Somebody who, when he dials a prayer, they hang up on him? Somebody who feels that his whole life has been one series of bad luck, one thing after another? You feel, you know just how the psalmist felt then, don't you? "The powers that be sit scheming together against me." Well, if you're one of those people, do what the psalmist says he will do. "I, thy servant, will study thy statutes." This is a very down-to-earth psalm. It's the longest by far in the Bible, And there are many, many things describing the condition in which the psalmist finds himself, and I think you'd find a lot of bells ringing if you read this psalm. You can put yourself in his place. He puts himself in your place. And then there are a lot of statements about what he's going to do about it. We can't expect God to just lift us out as in a bucket out of a well. There are many times when there are things that God wants us to do. And the psalmist says, I will study thy statutes. Thy instruction is my continual delight. I turn to it for counsel. Verse 32, I will run the course set out in thy commandments, for they gladden my heart. Have you found joy in obedience? You certainly have in the secular realm, haven't you? If somebody has asked you to do something, and you have done it exactly as they wanted it, and you know you did a good job, you found joy in that, didn't you? It's possible to find joy in obedience to God. He's not up there trying to think up ways to make us miserable. He has given us a whole book of instructions to make things work right. I hope that you will do what the psalmist says. I will run the course set out in thy commandments, for they gladden my heart. Now, if my dear friend Terry had tried to change all by herself, she would have experienced frustration. But it would have been needless pain. She carried her situation to God. We're to carry every situation to God, everything to God in prayer. And don't we realize that very often it's pride that keeps us from carrying things to God in prayer? Such a little thing. I can handle this myself. Why should you? If it's a little thing and it interests you, pray about it. It interests him too.
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your Gateway to Joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.